Jamuna Tira Vanna Chari Jamuna Jaya Radha Madhava Jari Hari Jaya Radha Madhava Jari Hari Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Hare Krishna Hare Krishna
Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Prabhupada, 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 Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada.
Prabhu Nityananda, Sri Advaita Gadadhar, Shri Gaur, Bhakta Vrinda Gijai, Sri Sri Radha Krishna Gaur, Govita Shama Kunda Radha Kudda Gidi Gupradhan Gijai, Sri Vrindavan Dham Gijai, Navadup Dham Gijai, Ganga Jamuna Tulasi Bhakti Devi Gijai, Ananda Koti Vaishnava Vrinda Gijai, Samavetta Bhakta Vrinda Gijai, Go Premanandi, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees. All glory to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga, all glory to Srila Prabhupada. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasadaya Buddhale Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swami Niti Namane Namaste Sarasvata Deva Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Shunyavari Paschata Desha Tarane Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasri Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 50, Verse 18. Tava Rama Yadisrada Yudhyasva Daryam Udvaha Hitvava Macharais Chinnam Deham Svaryahi Mam Jahi.
Tava.
Your. Rama. O Balaram. Yadi. If. Shraddha. Confidence. Yujasva. Fight. Daryam. Courage. Udvaha. Take up. Hitva. Leaving aside. Ava. Either. Much. My. Sharai. By the arrows. Chinnam. Cut to pieces. Deham. Your body. Swa. To heaven. Yahi. Go. Mom. Me. Jahi. Kill. Translation: You, Rama, should gather your courage and fight with me. If you think you can do it, you may either give up your body when it is cut to pieces by my arrows and thus attain to heaven, or else kill me. Report according to Acharya Sridhar Swami, Jarasandha suspected that Lord Balaram's body was indestructible, and thus he offered what might be a more practical alternative, that Balaram killed Jarasandha. Text 19. The Supreme Lord said, real heroes do not simply boast, but rather show their prowess in action. We cannot take seriously the words of one who is full of anxiety and he wants to die. Sukadeva Goswami said, just as the wind covers the sun with clouds or a fire with dust, the son of Jara marched towards the two descendants of Madhun with his huge assemblage of armies, surrounded them and their soldiers, chariots, flags, horses, and charioteers. Purport Acharya Sridhar points out that clouds only seem to cover the sun remains shining in the vast sky, nor is the potency of fire affected by a thin covering of dust. Similarly, the covering of Jarasandha's military strength is only apparent. The woman stood in the watchtowers, palaces, and high gates of the city when they could no longer see Krishna's and Balaram's chariots, identified by banners marked with the emblems of Garuda and a palm tree. They were struck with grief and fainted. Purport, the women are especially mentioned here because of their extraordinary attachment to Lord Krishna and Lord Balaram. Seeing his army tormented by the relentless and savage rain of arrows from the mass of opposing forces gathered like clouds about him, Lord Hari twanged his excellent bow, Saranga, which both gods and demons worship. Lord Krishna took arrows from his quiver, fixed them on the bowstring, pulled back, and released endless torrents of sharp shafts, which struck the enemies, chariots, elephants, horses, and infantrymen. The Lord shooting his arrows resembled a blazing circle of fire. Elephants fell to the ground, their foreheads split open. Cavalry horses fell with severed necks. Chariots fell with their horses, flags, drivers, and masters all shattered. And foot soldiers collapsed with severed arms, thighs, and shoulders. On the battlefield, hundreds of rivers of blood flowed from the limbs of humans, elephants, and horses who had been cut to pieces. In these rivers, arms resembled snakes, human heads, turtles, dead elephants, islands, dead horses, crocodiles. Hands and thighs appeared like fish, human hair like water weeds, bows like waves, and various weapons like clumps of bushes. The rivers of blood teemed with all these. Chariot wheels looked like terrifying whirlpools, and precious gems and ornaments resembled stones and gravel in the rushing red rivers, which aroused fear in the timid and joy in the wise. With the blows of his plow weapon, the immeasurably powerful Lord Balaram destroyed Magadendra's military force. And though this force was unfathomable and fearsome as an impassable ocean, for the two sons of Vasudeva, the lords of the universe, the battle was hardly more than play. For him who orchestrates the creation, maintenance, and destruction of the three worlds, and who possesses unlimited spiritual qualities, it is hardly amazing that he subdues an opposing party.
Still, when the Lord does so, imitating human behavior, sages glorify his acts. Purport, the philosopher Aristotle once argued that the Supreme God would hardly take part in human activities since all ordinary activities are unworthy of such a divine being. Similarly, Srila Vishnu Chakravarti, who almost certainly never read the works of Aristotle, raises a similar point. Since Sri Krishna creates, maintains, and annihilates the entire universe, isn't it an uninteresting mismatch when he fights against Jarasandha? The answer is as follows. The Lord plays the part of a human being and, expanding his pleasure potency, creates thrilling transcendental pastimes full of suspense and dynamic action. By the Lord's yoga maya potency, he appears exactly like a human being, and thus we may enjoy the spectacle of the Supreme Person acting on the earthly stage. Undoubtedly, stubborn agnostics will argue that since Krishna is God, there's no real suspense involved. Such skeptics simply do not understand Krishna's attractive potency. Beauty and drama, even on the material stage, possess their own fascinating logic, and similarly, we love Krishna for his own sake. We appreciate his beauty for its sake. And we enjoy Krishna's pastimes because they are, in fact, wonderful in and of themselves. In fact, Krishna executes his pastimes not for a mundane, egotistical purpose, but for our pleasure. Thus, the presentation of spiritual pastimes is itself an act of love that Krishna performs for the infinite spiritual happiness of pure-hearted souls who have transcended material envy of the Godhead. In this regard, Srila Vishnu Chakravarti quotes an important verse from Gopaltapani Upanishad, Narakriti Parabrahma Karana Manusha. The Supreme Absolute Truth for his own purpose appears in a human-like form, although he is the source of everything. Similarly, in Srimad Bhagavatam we find Yan Mitram Paramanandam Purna Brahma Sanatanam. The source of transcendental bliss, the eternal Supreme Brahman, has become their friend. So we have a series of verses describing the battle between Jarasandha and Krishna and Balaram and their forces. And there's a huge description of the death that occurred on the battlefield, which we can say is an aspect of ghastliness. So bibhatsa is one of the rasas, and this is an example of bibhatsa, ghastliness, where we find all the blood and the dead bodies, etc. And we'll find similar descriptions in Mahabharata, etc. When these battles take place, we have aspects of ghastliness. The other aspect, of course, that is prominent is virya, heroism. So this is another rasa. That the Lord enjoys fighting in various ways. He may fight demons, in which case the rasa is a little indirect because actually virya rasa applies to the Lord and his devotees, ultimately. We have, of course, the devotees derive pleasure from seeing the Lord fight with the demons. But the demons are not involved in the rasa because they have hatred for the Lord, whereas rasa is defined as favorability towards the Lord. But in the spiritual world, we do find, and even in Vrindavan, in the material world, we will find virya rasa between the devotees and the Lord. That is within sakya rasa, we'll find. The cowherd boys and Krishna, they fight. Of course, it's not real fighting, but they have games in which they compete with each other, and it's described how the winner will ride on the shoulders of the other person, etc., like this, and the loser has to carry the other person. And so every day, Krishna and Balaram go into the forest with their friends, the cowherd boys, and then they on the pretext of herding cows, they play games all day long, and then in the evening they bring the cows home.
So in these games, they have the virya rasa. Huh? And it's described that sometimes it's very ferocious. A very intense fighting takes place there. But it's all within favorability. The cowherd boys are devotees of the Lord. Huh? And Krishna himself is a devotee. So it's this is a virya rasa, which is completely favorable. Huh? And similarly, we get the anger rasa, etc., manifesting between devotees and the Lord, such as the gopis getting angry at Krishna, etc. So this is all within, these are the actual, you know, rasas. Huh? And then we have the Lord fighting with demons, yeah, in which the Lord may express virya or anger, etc. Yeah? But the demon is not a devotee, so it's slightly different there. And the demon on his part has no real rasa. It's not a real rasa because it is filled with hatred of the Lord. Though he may have material virya or material anger, etc. So those are not real rasas in those demons. They're reflections of rasa. Nevertheless, the Lord fighting with them experiences these rasas. And the devotees appreciate these displays of the Lord's power. So all of these rasas take place within the Lord's bliss. Why we have rasas at all? And that's because it's connected with bliss. So the Upanishads state that the essential nature of Brahman, or Parabrahman, is ananda. And that is expressed through rasa. And rasa is expressed through not only the Lord, but Lord and the devotee. So we get various relationships of rasa with the between the devotee and the Lord. Then we get ananda. So the Lord experiences bliss through this. And he also expresses bliss through these pastimes. And the devotees also experience bliss through these pastimes. All, of course, through the Hladini Shakti of the Lord, his Sarup Shakti, which is the principal Shakti of the Lord. So as Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains, the Hladini Shakti enters into the jiva so that he can experience that bliss in the spiritual world. Of course, this is part of the internal potency. The jiva is separate. He is jiva shakti, tatastha shakti, different shakti. So when one practices bhakti, then the Hladini shakti manifests in the jiva from Krishna in the spiritual world, or we can say via the devotees in the spiritual world who all have Hladini shakti, and they follow after those devotees, so they share that shakti. So once it enters the jiva, then he can experience the bliss in the spiritual world. Otherwise, he cannot do so. And that is why in Brahman, no Hladini shakti is there. It's explained that bhava stage manifests Hladini and samvit shaktis of the Lord. And at that stage, the person feels that liberation is insignificant. Why? Because there's no bliss there. No Hladini Shakti, no Samvit Shakti, no Supreme Lord, etc. Brahman is simply peaceful existence beyond matter. So there we don't see the Lord bestowing Hladini Shakti and the person with Brahman realization. So there's a difference between the person in bhava and the person in Brahman state. Hladini Shakti is there. So the Lord bestows or manifests that shakti in the jiva because of his mercy, because the jiva is qualified. He has performed bhakti, and the bhakti has become strong enough so that it manifests as Hladini Shakti. The devotee can experience bliss. The Lord endows the jivas with the Hladini Shakti because that is the nature of the Lord. to expand his bliss at all times. So he expands it into all the different jivas who are qualified. And then they have pastimes together and they experience this bliss. So, therefore, the pastimes are an aspect of the rasa, and the rasa is, we can say, the bliss of the Supreme Lord. There is an explanation of this in the Brahma Sutras also. Does the Lord perform his pastimes in order to get bliss? And the answer is no. It's rather an expression of his bliss. In other words, he doesn't perform pastimes to get blissful, because his nature is bliss. So he doesn't have a cause for getting that bliss, because that's his very nature. So he doesn't perform pastimes to get bliss. Rather, it's his very nature. So rather, it's an expression of his bliss, all of these pastimes. And consequently, we can say that, why do jivas exist? It's the nature of the Lord's bliss. An aspect of his bliss, because rasa, and rasa requires not one entity, but two. And therefore, we need the jivas there. So, in this way, he explains it. An example is given. I think Ramanujacharya gives the example of the Lord. It's like a prince, and the prince, he's in the palace, and then he plays ball, and he experiences his bliss. But then Balarama Vidyabhusa says, well, actually, then there's, you know, he gets bliss from playing the ball. So there, the playing the ball causes the bliss. So he says, actually, the Lord's nature is bliss, so there's no cause for his bliss at all. It is the very nature of the Lord to be blissful. So then he gives another example, and he says, the prince gets up in the morning, and he wakes up, and then suddenly begins dancing. So why does he dance? Not to become blissful, but to express his bliss. That's all. So the whole of the spiritual world and all the pastimes there are an expression of the Lord's ananda, which is his essential nature. So that's the example he gives to show it's causeless. The ananda is causeless. It's not caused by his pastimes or whatever. They're an expression of his bliss in the spiritual world. So it takes a wide variety of, becomes a wide variety through various pastimes and various rasas, changes in the rasa, in the pastimes. And in this way, we get all sorts of varying experiences. So one of these experiences we see is this, the secondary rasas that manifest. Actually, Rupa Goswami says, secondary rasas are not real rasas. They're actually vibhachari bhavas. So we just have the sthayi bhavas, shanta, dasya, sakya, vatsalya, madhurya, rasas. The other seven are actually just vibhachari bhavas, temporary emotional sentiments that arise, like worry, fear, etc. Now, they're part of the vibhachari bhavas. But because Bharata Muni in his Natya Shastra has designated seven secondary rasas as very prominent, he also calls them rasas, but actually they're vibhachari bhavas. So actually we're emphasis upon the positive rasas, the primary rasas. Others are all like vibhachari bhavas. But when they become a little prominent, then they can be called rasas. They become far, and they last for a little longer than normal vibhachari bhavas. And then they take on the nature of rasas. They have their sthayi bhava, which is the secondary hasya or whatever, virya, etc. And then they have the other elements like anubhavas and vibhachari bhavas and sattvika bhavas, and they mix together and they get a rasa, so to speak. Sometimes these are exhibited. And so we have an example here. When battles take place, then we'll have the virya rasa and the ghastly rasa and the fear rasa, etc., manifested in individuals. So in the spiritual world, we don't see the demons, so the battles that take place are between devotees and the Lord in the form of Sakya Rasa. Obviously, we won't find that with Dasya Rasa because the Dasas will never fight with the Lord. He's always superior. But Sakya means equal. And so they compete as equals, and that's how the Virya Rasa Rasa, because they're equal in strength, equal in ability, etc. They appear equal like that. So then there's the Rasa arises from that. So it's typical of Sakya Rasa, this in the spiritual world. But when the Lord appears in the material world, then we get a lot of demons, and then the Lord fights with the demons. So therefore, we get the Virya Rasa against demons. And in response to that, then the devotees react a little differently. They're not fighting with the Lord, so in that sense, no Virya Rasa with them. So they may experience astonishment rasa, or ghastly rasa, as we see here. Astonishment, ghastliness. Or bionic rasa, fear. But it's fear for the Lord. Not fear for themselves, but fear for the Lord. Or astonishment at the Lord's valor, etc. Whatever. We get a lot of secondary rasas manifest when we have these battles with the demons. So here we find this ghastliness manifest with the description of the soldiers, dead soldiers and animals and elephants, etc. on the battlefield. So the Lord actually is beyond all of this in one sense, because He doesn't hate demons, He doesn't hate anyone, He's compassionate to all, and because He is all-powerful, He doesn't have to exert any energy or skill or anything to defeat a demon. He simply has to say, die, and they'll die. Doesn't have to do anything. But we have this whole elaborate scheme in which there's fight after fight after fight with Jarasandha particularly, and huge armies, etc. So why would the Lord do this? So we say He's kind of putting on a show. But we can't say that also, because then that would make the whole thing false, and then the Lord is deceiving everybody. No. So it's actually, we can say the Lord is involved in His pastimes. And He's also experiencing all these rasas, not as fake things, as in material rasa on stage where they depict emotions, but then they go off the stage and there's someone completely different. No. The Lord experiences these things. It's not just an act He's putting on for the devotees or the demons or whatever. He's actually experiencing these things because He is full of bliss. So He arranges these pastimes, and in this way, the Lord relishes these different rasas, manifestation of different rasas with His devotees particularly. Rasas with the demons, of course, is all secondary. But it relates to the devotees also, and this gives pleasure to the devotees. Therefore, the Lord makes these arrangements. The Lord, in other forms, such as Narasimhadev or Ramchandra, makes these arrangements. And it's always clear that He is the Supreme Lord. And nobody thinks otherwise. When Krishna kills the demons and performs these acts, it's a little different, because, as is quoted here from the Gopotapani Upanishad, He is like a human being. Karana Manusha. He is like a human in His activities. Though He is Supreme Brahman, He is also, He has the form of a human being, and He acts like a human being. So it's a little confusing for people. Krishna gets lost in the clouds, so to speak, of all the thing. His banner disappears, and everyone gets real frightened. So He acts like a human being. Then, of course, He ultimately is victorious. But this is not an act. It's actually Krishna's nature. As Krishna, that's his very form, human-like form. It is most human in Vrindavan. And there, nobody really expects Him to be God at all. They deny that He is God at all there. and everything, even if he shows great powers, they will deny that he is God. So not only the Lord is human-like, but the devotees there are also convinced of his human nature as part of their rasa. In Mathura and Dwarka, it's the same Krishna, Kaishore age, etc., with the same beauty, but they regard him as Supreme Lord there also. They understand he is Supreme Lord. Still, he has this human aspect, as we see here. And when he gets lost in the huge conflict, then they all get a little suspense and worried, etc., about him, or whatever. So, it's a mixture. He is still human-like, and at the same time, there is a regard for him as the Supreme Lord. Of the two, of course, if one regards him as the Supreme Lord, then we can say the suspense also is a little bit less, because, okay, he's Supreme Lord, he can get out of the situation, I guess. But where there's no regard for him as the Supreme Lord, then the emotions are much more intense, because they don't think of a Supreme Lord at all. So they can't think, well, he's going to kill the demon because he's Supreme Lord. No, their emotions are greater, as we see with the when he is fighting with Kaliya. Kaliya coiled up Krishna and he was squeezing him and everyone started fainting. They didn't think, oh, he's Supreme Lord, so he can get out of the situation, he'll kill the demon. No, they didn't think like that. Everybody was completely worried, and Mother Yasoda wanted to jump into the water, etc., whatever. So everyone was completely upset by that. But here they're certainly upset, but still there's this idea he's God, so he can somehow get out of the situation. So the emotions are, all the emotions, even the secondary emotions, etc., and secondary rasas become more intense in Vrindavan because the people there see Krishna as very, very human-like. So that is not a imposition on God. The Supreme Brahman is actually all-powerful, but that he acts like a human and then he becomes Krishna. That would be false, because then that would mean the whole act in Vrindavan is simply a show for those people, but actually he is something else. No. This is very nature. So that is why he is Bhagavan Swayam. This is the very nature of Supreme Lord in his highest position, to have display sweetness above everything else. And that is fully manifested in Vrindavan pastimes. So that's his very nature. It's not an act at all. It's him. It's Krishna himself. And through that, he's expressing his great bliss in the most intense way. So, though sometimes the Bhagavatam and other works, they describe, they talk about the Lord assuming this form, etc., or this role, or he's like an actor, etc. We should never think that this is only an act that the Lord puts on, like putting on a costume and then acting on a stage and then walking off and be something else. No, it is the very Lord himself. So it's not some pretend thing like that. Just as when Krishna runs away from Mother Yasoda in fear. And then when she catches him, he has tears in his eyes because of the stick she's holding. So is Krishna only acting? Yeah, actually, he's Supreme Lord, I'm not afraid of that stick or whatever. No, he's actually genuinely feeling like that, because he identifies himself completely as the child of Mother Yasoda. So he acts just like that child. He is that child. Therefore, not an act in one sense, it is actually the experience of the Lord himself to behave in these different ways with the people of Vrindavan. In this way, nothing is false at all. It's actually part of the Lord's expression of his bliss.
When the four stages of bhava, sthayi bhava, anubhava, sattvic bhava, vyabhichari bhava, is one bhava giving rise to other bhavas, simultaneously occurring, and because this four gives rise to the rasas?
Well,
arise simultaneously or just from one by one?
Well, the sthayi bhava is the basis, because without an emotional relationship with the Lord doesn't manifest. So sthayi bhava manifests. Bhava means sthayi bhava. A sthayi bhava manifests. We have an affectionate relationship with the Lord, which is permanent, that manifests at the bhava stage. And that means that we can see the Lord. So once that happens, then the other things automatically happen. Vibhava means we have a devotee form, like a cowherd boy or a manjari or a gopi or an elder cowherd or a yadu or whatever like that. And the Lord is the form of Krishna or Narsimha or whatever like that. So that's the vibhava. Then anubhava. Then we do acts. We want to serve the Lord. We want to do things with the Lord. The cowherd boys want to play with the Lord. Mother Yasoda wants to cook for Krishna. These are anubhavas. It's natural. Because they want to express their bliss by affectionate service. That's anubhavas. And then when the prema gets very strong, then they will experience sattvika bhavas, such as fainting or crying or shivering or whatever like this. And during the pastimes, because it's not static, the relationship's always changing in different circumstances, then they'll experience vyabhachari bhava. So it's all because of the sthayi bhava, all based on the sthayi bhava.
Bharatanatyam, they teach all these bhavas.
Oh yeah,
so
same thing.
The dancer has to express all the different...
Because they're based on Bharat Muni's Natya Shastra. But, of course, in his work, it's basically material. Of course, we can apply it to Krishna's pastimes in Bharatanatyam, etc. But originally, it was there to depict material things. So the secondary rasas are often more prominent because it's very easy to act out all these secondary things like fear, hatred, all these things, you know, on stage. They become very prominent. And the primary rasas become secondary. So there's an imbalance there in material dramas where the secondary rasas become the primary rasas. And the major rasas may not even be there at all. There'll be no affectionate relations. It's all hatred and fear and all these things coming out.
Huh? He doesn't get bliss, but it's only an expression. Delivered point. That, but when something happens, when devotee something, he becomes pleased. When a devotee does something, which he becomes displeased. How to understand that, Maharaj?
The Lord gets pleased displeased.
Yeah.
Well, obviously, within the pastimes, there is sort of a cause and effect there. The as a result of their pastimes together with between Krishna and the cowherd boys, they get bliss. Obviously, it's there. But ultimately, we can say this is an expression of bliss within the, we can say, just like we have the sthayi bhava and the anubhavas and everything like that. And then as a result, we get bliss. So there's a cause and effect, it seems, through the making the rasa, and then we get bliss. But because it's spiritual, then we can't really distinguish cause and effect. There's a continuous relationship. The bliss itself gives rise to the pastimes. And the pastimes gives rise to bliss, so they mutually cause each other.
Huh? The other thing is this...
Why do they do the pastimes? Why do they play in the forest? Because of bliss. Why does Krishna do it? Because of bliss. But then they get bliss from it, so it's one is the cause of each is the cause of the other.
Hmm. Yeah, we see devotees, to get to see the Lord is very, very rare. And we see Jarasandha gets an opportunity to see the Lord directly. Of course, he is in a different mood of fighting with them. But what qualified Jarasandha to get to see him personally, Maharaj?
What is?
Qualifies him to see the Lord personally.
Well, mercy of the Lord. But then Jiva Goswami, I think, or Vishwanath explains that actually he doesn't see the Lord as such. Because if he really saw the Lord, then he would get prema. Only those who have prema are qualified to see the Lord. But so he saw a form which is actually... like material, covering. Like we have Nama Bas. It's like an Abbas of the Lord. And he doesn't appreciate it. Because he doesn't see the sweetness of the Lord or the wonderful chit form of the Lord. He sees him like a material form.
Huh? But does it apply with the devotees who does not have bhava, devotion for the Lord? He may see the Lord in a murti, archavikraha, but he's not a... that deepened opposition
is
not...
Well, the devotees are different because at least they're favorable to the Lord. So therefore, to the extent that we do have bhakti, we can see the Lord. The more bhakti we have, the better we can see Him.
Yeah. Maharaj made a point, in the Dasya Rasa, they don't fight. The Dasa does not fight with the Lord.
They fight for the Lord, but they'll fight with the Lord.
Yeah. They don't fight with the Lord. The same Rasa Maharaj, the Dasa, I don't remember the name of the devotee in Chaitanya Leela, he brings so many things for Lord Chaitanya, like scented oil or mat or something, and then he becomes angry with the Lord, he becomes upset with the Lord. I mean, which means
Jagadananda
Pant, yeah. So which means that expression of anger is there, being a Dasa, he is a servant, in the mood of a servant.
But that was more in the mood of Madhurya Rasa, where there's anger because the Lord does not accept or whatever like that. Kind of like Madhurya Rasa almost. As we see the gopis, etc. They get angry at Krishna sometimes. So, of course, we could say servants may, but that's a very special type of servant where they're almost not a servant and they're mixed with, their servants may be mixed with other moods as well.
What else we see in the Vrindavan pastimes, that the Krishna playing with different gopas, and there are also some secondary rasa there, they display. But for the, in the case of Jarasandha, although he was in Krishna's playing with Virarasa and Jarasandha also in the Virarasa.
What's that?
Jarasandha also in the Virarasa, we can say Krishna and Virarasa both are fighting.
Yeah, but it's not, his rasa is not spiritual because it's not it's not based on a positive sthayi bhava of affection for the Lord.
So
it's not the same.
But in the case of Lord, we can say this is Virarasa, but for the...
For the Lord.
Because favorability is not there, that's why. Favorability is not there. The favorable is not there. It's not favorable.
Yeah, he hates the Lord. So obviously his Virarasa is material.
Although he doesn't have intention, but still is giving pleasure to the Lord.
So it's not like the Virarasa is there, but in the spiritual world, the Virarasa manifests because of a favorable rasa, as Sakyarasa or something else. Then we can get a Virarasa based on that. But here we have a Virarasa without the favorable rasa at all. So that is a material rasa.
So can you say that without primary rasa, the secondary rasa cannot exist?
No, they won't exist, no. In the spiritual world. They exist in the material world, definitely. Anger can exist without having an affectionate relationship with somebody. Fear can exist without an affectionate relationship also. Anything.
And
this material rasa different.
And we see you are giving example of like in Sikharasa, they normally in Sikharasa display many secondary rasa. Sometimes it seems the secondary rasa are prominent in a Sikharasa. But at the end, it's all a part of past. At the end, all come together and they laugh with a joke.
Yeah.
And everything happened. But in the same thing happened maybe with the devotees also. Sometimes, devotees compete with each other even for the preaching, for the service. But at the end, they cannot come closer. There is again, disturbance or some problem happened. But it doesn't happen for the Lord. They all come together at the end.
Because it's based upon a positive rasa.
What about this, Maharaj? See, Krishna gets so many chances to kill Jarasandha, but he doesn't kill.
Yeah.
And even Balaram also, he almost chastised Krishna, why not give him a chance to kill him. But still he doesn't, Krishna said, no, don't kill him. So can you say that he doesn't, normally said that, those who are killed by the Lord, they get liberation. But can you say that Jarasandha is not qualified, he doesn't deserve liberation, that's why he doesn't kill by the Lord?
Who?
Jarasandha.
Well, the whole thing is it's a pastime. And it was explained that he didn't kill him because he wanted Jarasandha to gather more troops, and then that way they destroy more people and more of the enemy. So they don't have to search out the enemy. They will all come to Mathura and they all get killed.
But at the end, he's supposed to be killed by the Krishna, but he doesn't. He's killed by Bhima.
Yeah. So he's giving opportunity to his devotees to do things also.
So that means that if someone is killed by the devotees, he also get the same destination?
He may, by the Lord's will. The Lord can do anything by his will. Why demons are powerful like Hiranyakasipu? Well, they're powerful compared to other persons in the material world, perhaps, but compared to Krishna, they're not. So, it's just within the material world, certain jivas, due to their efforts and whatever, and the modes of material nature and combinations, their karmas, etc., can get great material powers, but they will also lose them because they will die eventually. Or they get defeated within this lifetime, as we see the demons do. So it's relatively powerful. So why is it in the material world? Because it's the nature of the material world. The gunas are there and they fluctuate at all times. Sometimes tamoguna and rajaguna are prominent. Sometimes sattvaguna is prominent. We cannot prevent that. It's just the nature of material life.
Maharaj, we see in Mahabharata, Bhishma Pitama also fighted with Krishna. So my question is, so what rasa he was in, Dasya or Sakya rasa?
Who?
Bhishma Pitama.
He's actually in Dasya. He's actually in Dasya. But then there's also, because he's elder, there's Vatsalya mixed there also.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, what kind of rasa did the Lord's sons like Pradyumna, what kind of rasa did they enjoy with the
Lord? It's a type of dasya.
Dasya.
Yeah.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, today is Ganga Prabhu and Mataji's 31st wedding anniversary. Can we call both of them to accept Prasadam Galan from Maharaj, Prabhu and Mataji? Mataji, please.
Ganga
Prabhu and Mataji, yeah. Please come forward to accept Prasadam Dalan. And Prabhu, you want to say some words about them?
Hare Krishna. For the devotees, Ganga Prabhu and his wife doesn't require any introduction, but for the newcomers, he was a temple president in very long back, we were in Kill Park.
Burkett Road.
In Burkett Road, and before that, we were in Kill Park in 1985. And due to his constant services, ISKCON Chennai has developed. Initially, they all worked very hard. Mataji is an expert cook for the deities, and she has come here for cooking for the Guru Maharaj. So we request both of them to bless us, the very senior devotees of Guru Maharaj, so we can also develop devotional activities. Hare Krishna. Let us all chant Hare Krishna, Hare
Krishna. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare.
Gagabu, want to say a few things?
Hare Krishna, everybody. We are very happy and glad to be here with association of wonderful Vaishnavas guided by our Guru Maharaj Banu Swami, who is giving the teaching of the Acharyas to us every day. You are very, very fortunate because you can progress very fast on this path of bhakti. So please always remain in association with devotees and always see the devotee as very exalted. That is the secret of success. In saying Kali Yuga, it's very easy to find faults. We see the moon and say, oh, but there is some spot. We see something, oh, but this, oh, this guy's nose is not nice, or whatever. But if we see the devotee, their intention is always to serve the Vaishnava and to serve Krishna. And this is the greatest, you know, aspiration of the devotee. So Sadhu Sangha is so powerful that if we remain together and we don't see all these external faults of the devotees, we can progress very fast all together, and very quickly we can go back home, back to God. So please bless us on this today's 31st anniversary. My wife accepted me. Huh? We were married in Chennai in Kilpa Garden Road. It was the hottest day of the year, 46 degrees in front of the fire. Atmadatva Prabhu was there, Maharaj was there, Gurukul Maharaj was there. And the night before, I remember we went to Kotawal Chowari to purchase all the vegetables. Many life members came and they blessed us.
Had a nice feast cooked by Balika Mataji.
Yes, we had a nice feast cooked by Balika Mataji. And today morning we went to Parthasarathi temple. So we took the blessing of the Lord, because in that particular day we also went there. And today is Garuda Seva. So very beautiful on the Lord, on the palanquin. It goes around the temple. We receive the blessing of the Lord and the Charanamrita. So the beauty of South India is the culture. of the Vaishnavas. You know, we are surrounded by so many beautiful temples, and I have very great memory of South India. So you please bless us that we can together serve all the Vaishnavas. Whenever opportunity comes, we are your servant. Hare Krishna.
Nirantara Shri Shri Mata.